was a long time ago. I served in the U.S. Navy in World War II, 44 through 46, in the Pacific, board ship, the USS Chiginus.
You know, we've talked about it over the years, and we looked up his ship online, and he's talked about transiting the Pacific and a number of the Western Pacific Islands, the Marianas, Guam.
Sure.
Some of his colleagues would talk about, some of them were in the Battle of the Bulge and saw quite a bit of action in World War II. Growing up, World War II was vivid in everybody's mind because it wasn't that long ago. So it was a big deal. And just about every one of my friends, their father, served in World War II. In Ziering, where we lived and I grew up, Memorial Day, the veterans used to march up from the American Legion post, and there was a service at the cemetery.
There was principally American Legion, the cemetery, and...
And I remember vividly after they fired the 21-gun salute, which was, it wasn't exactly 21 firings, but enough to make it look like it because the old Springfield rifles didn't work very well. and Dad's laughing in the background. Then we would go and gather up the brass. They made pretty good whistles.
Well, I'd like to express my appreciation to you on Memorial Day.
Well, thank you very much.
Goodbye.
You bet.
It's Memorial Day. That was World War II veteran Kurt Bauer and his son Lee Bauer. Today, we reflect on Memorial Day, its meaning, and we reflect on those among us who have given service in the military. Herman Quirnbach and Tim Garten from the Ames Patriotic Council will lead this conversation. Here on Local Talk, they will also be reading the names of area veterans who have passed away since last May. Please stay tuned and join this moment of reflection. It's a moment of coming together in this unusual and difficult year. I don't need to tell you that this year is unusual. This Memorial Day, Senator Quirnbach and Councilman Garten extend recognition to others in uniform who are not in the military service, but who currently serve and put their lives on the line during this pandemic crisis. Globally, more than 9,200 healthcare providers have been infected by the virus, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And this is a good moment to stop and reflect on how much and how many have been lost to this pandemic. The coronavirus have infected more than 1.66 million people in the USA so far, with 98,000 deaths. Globally, the death toll is around 350,000. This is Local Talk. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for this hour. Welcome to this Memorial Day edition of Local Talk. Thank you for being here to listen. Dennis Hart is here as well with a roundup of the Iowa news. Lots of rain coming our way. I was hoping to get my tomatoes planted today. Looks like I'm going to be planting in the rain. Showers and thunderstorm this afternoon, but it should be warm rain, about 80 degrees or higher. Showers and thunderstorms at night, too, and all the way through Wednesday, although the sun is expected to start coming out on that day. Nights should stay near or above 60, and days near or above 80. From Thursday on through the weekend, sunny days and clear skies at night are expected. It should be a really nice few days over the weekend. Here's Dennis Hart with Iowa News.
Thanks very much. It's a privilege to be with you on this Monday evening. I hope you had a satisfying Memorial Day. The past week's news around the state was dominated, as it has been for months now, by the coronavirus. Here in Iowa, the death toll from the virus kept going up. As of this Monday afternoon, 459 residents had died from the virus. And the number of cases of infections kept rising as well, reaching 17,575, including 95 in Story County. Meanwhile, last week, Governor Kim Reynolds announced a new list of businesses that would be allowed to reopen this past Friday. That included movie theaters, zoos, museums, aquariums, auctions, and wedding receptions. All could reopen with some restrictions. In addition, pools were allowed to reopen last Friday for lap swimming and swimming lessons. And this coming Thursday, bars will be allowed to reopen at 50% capacity. Then, next Monday, June 1st, schools will be able to resume school-sponsored activities and learning. When she announced this, the governor also said, as she has before, that she believes state residents will handle the relaxed restrictions in a responsible manner. Hours after the governor's announcement, the State Department of Education said that team practices for high school baseball and softball could begin next Monday, with games starting 2 weeks later on June 15th. The governor also announced that state public health officials would increase serology testing. That's a test that detects coronavirus antibodies and indicates if a person has been infected with the virus and had an immune response to it. She also said that Iowa had ramped up its coronavirus testing enough so that any resident who wants a test should be able to get one. She said allowing for widespread testing through the Test Iowa program would help get Iowa residents back to work. But at the same time, the Des Moines Register reported that Linn County officials had been struggling to get basic data from the Test Iowa site in Cedar Rapids, making it difficult to make smart public health decisions. Also last week, word that 89 inmates and 9 employees at the Polk County Jail had tested positive for the coronavirus. And there was also word that 3 Des Moines firefighters from the same crew had tested positive for the virus. They were the first cases of the virus among the fire department's nearly 300 personnel. Meanwhile, last week, word that the State Department of Public Health was monitoring 2 potential cases in eastern Iowa of an inflammatory illness in children that has been linked to the coronavirus. In another story, Governor Reynolds said state regulators had acted appropriately when they declined to conduct an inspection at the Tyson Foods pork plant in Perry before hundreds of workers there tested positive for the coronavirus. Iowa Occupational Safety and Health received a complaint in April alleging that the virus was spreading on the production floor of the plant and in the cafeteria. The agency closed its inquiry after determining that the company's response outlining safety efforts at the plant was satisfactory. 1 week later, the State Department of Public Health reported that 730 workers at the plant had tested positive for the coronavirus. That was 58% of the entire workforce. Also last week, KCCI-TV reported that a new University of Iowa study found that if the governor had issued a stay-at-home order, it could have prevented 30% of the coronavirus cases the state has had. The study compared data from bordering counties in Iowa and in Illinois, where a stay-at-home order was issued. Iowa was one of 5 states that did not issue a stay-at-home order. When she was asked about the study, Governor Reynolds said, in her words, "They are models based on assumptions." On the jobless front last week, more than 17,000 Iowa residents filed for unemployment. That meant that 187,000 Iowans were on the state's jobless rolls, more than at any other point in Iowa's history. The state's jobless rate in April was 10.2%, according to the latest figures from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Most of this, the result of job losses brought on by business closures due to the coronavirus. Meanwhile, last week, word that the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics faced what the Des Moines Register called unparalleled financial strain because it had ceased elective surgeries and other medical care services during the coronavirus pandemic. UHC estimated it would lose about $100 million in revenue by the end of next month. And while elective surgeries have now resumed at the hospital, fewer patients are going, perhaps out of fear of getting the coronavirus. Also last week, word that the University of Iowa announced it would bring students back to campus for face-to-face schooling this fall. The U of I became the first state public university to officially make that announcement. In another story, word that horse racing and gaming could soon return to the Prairie Meadows Racetrack and Casino in Altoona. Stables at the horse track will reopen next Monday. That's a necessary step before races can resume, but no date for that has been set. At the same time, there was word last week that the state judicial branch announced it would postpone jury trials in criminal cases in Iowa until at least September 14th because of the pandemic. There was also word that Pier 1 import stores in Iowa and across the nation would close permanently after the home goods retailer said the coronavirus had played a role in the company being unable to find a buyer. Pier 1 has 8 locations in Iowa. It had filed for bankruptcy protection in February. The company said it was seeking court approval to start store closing and liquidation sales once those stores can safely reopen after being shut down because of the coronavirus. And last week, word that Goodwill of Central Iowa had permanently closed 4 retail stores and its outlet and career center because of financial problems associated with the coronavirus. Goodwill stores in Grinnell, Oskaloosa, Waukee, and South Des Moines had been closed, along with the South Des Moines Outlet and Career Connection Center. Earlier, Goodwill had reopened about 10 of its stores, including the one in Ames. There was more last week, including word that an Iowa farm that had to euthanize hogs because of the coronavirus had been infiltrated by unknown animal activists. No one was injured, and the Grundy County property owned by Iowa Select Farms was not damaged. And last week, word that the Chris Stapleton All-American Roadshow that had been scheduled to run at the Iowa State Fair this year had been postponed to next year's fair. The reason for the postponement? The coronavirus. That, and the announcement last week that the Minnesota State Fair would not be held this year, led to questions about the fate of this year's Iowa State Fair. The Des Moines Register reported that a final decision will be made by early next month about whether this year's fair in Des Moines will be held. Meanwhile, the Science Center of Iowa in Des Moines announced it is planning to reopen, but things will be different. Starting tomorrow, Tuesday, the Science Center's preschool will reopen with a limited number of students. Summer camps will be virtual for 2 weeks before returning to on-site operations June 22nd. By July 4th, the Science Center will be open for members and the general public, but only on weekends. There was other news last week not related to the coronavirus. In Des Moines on Saturday, authorities said a 17-year-old boy who had been shot in the neck had died, and a 16-year-old boy was charged in his death. In the community of Russell this past Saturday evening, a vehicle struck and killed a 9-year-old boy who was riding his bicycle. Authorities said alcohol and excessive speed had been ruled out in the fatal incident. In Madison County early Sunday morning, an 18-year-old driver died and his 21-year-old passenger was injured in a single vehicle crash. Authorities said the 18-year-old was trying to elude a sheriff's vehicle when he lost control and his own vehicle crashed into a ditch. In Pella, authorities said a woman followed her husband's girlfriend to an apartment complex, then stabbed her to death. The suspect is 55-year-old Michelle Boat. The fatal victim was identified as 46-year-old Tracy Mondebau. In Johnson County, at least one confirmed tornado hit the Morse area this past Saturday night, causing damage but no reported injuries. In Ankeny, word that the school district had agreed to pay nearly $900,000 to a former student who said she had suffered permanent brain damage after being attacked by a bully at school in 2016. The incident took place at Ankeny High School. Also last week, word that the Des Moines City Council had approved a settlement with a family that had sued a police sergeant and the city, alleging excessive force and racial bias. Attorneys for Kimberly Williams and her children accepted a $75,000 judgment in federal court. Still in Des Moines, the woman accused of hitting and injuring two children, a black male and a Hispanic female, with her SUV, was found competent to stand trial. 42-year-old Nicole Poole Franklin faces charges of attempted murder and assault violation of individual rights, which is a hate crime, in connection with a series of incidents last December. Police said she hit two children intentionally with her vehicle and yelled racial and ethnic slurs at a gas station worker. Also last week, a Des Moines man was charged with animal neglect after two dogs were found dead in his apartment. Court documents allege that 21-year-old David Goldburn intentionally starved the dogs to death. Animal Rescue League officials said Goldburn had adopted the dogs in March. And one more note before I go. Word that the Des Moines School District has approved a project to partner with Drake University to build a nearly $20 million stadium complex on the Drake campus. The school board's vote was unanimous. The 4,000-seat stadium will serve as the home field for the Hoover, Lincoln, North, and Roosevelt teams in Des Moines and will be used by all five high school soccer programs. The East High School football team will continue to use Williams Stadium for home games. Drake University's men's and women's soccer teams will also play games at the new stadium. The Des Moines School District will contribute $15 million toward the project. Drake University will contribute the rest and be responsible for maintaining the facility. And that, my friends, is your whirlwind look on this Monday evening of quite a week of news indeed from all around Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, departing now, but promising to show up in this seat again on Friday when I'll have word on what's been going on in Ames. Stay healthy and stay safe as we all make our way through this together.
I'm Herman Gornbach, treasurer of the Ames Patriotic Council. We're here today to talk about Memorial Day, which is our solemn national holiday dedicated to honoring American military veterans who have given their lives in defense of our country. In this Patriotic Council and its member organizations, wish to recognize the following veterans of the Ames community who have passed away since Memorial Day last year. Please take a few moments today to give your thoughts to and thanks for the service and sacrifices of these honored dead.
This is Tim Garden, president of the Ames Patriotic Council. I would like to take a moment to thank those who've been involved in planning the Memorial Day program for the last 6 months, the Ames Patriotic Council, and many other people in the community for whom this is a major investment of their time and preparation. It's hard for us not to have the Memorial Day program as scheduled. It's an important, nonpartisan time of our community when we are all Americans. And we look forward to having these programs again in the future. The following is the list of deceased Ames veterans who died between May 2019 and May 2020. Alan Abbott, Air Force, Korea. James Anderson, Army, World War II. Elmer Arand, Army, World War II. Glenn Avon Hall, Navy, World War II. Lloyd Ballantyne, Air Force, Korea. Forrest Barnes, Navy, Korea. Cecil Bell, Army. Ralph Bennett, Army, World War II. William Bill S. Block, Navy, World War II. Merlin Dwayne Brownie Brown, Navy, World War II. Neldon P. Bryant, National Guard, Vietnam. William Buss, Army, Cold War. Orville Carlson, Army, Korea. George F. Clark, Jr., Army, Vietnam. Elmer Clayton, Navy, World War II.
Also deceased within the last year, Darrell Coy, who served in the Air Force during the Cold War. Kathleen Craig, Army, Cold War. James Q., Coast Guard, World War II. Howard R. Dixon, Jr., Army, World War II. J. Donaldson, Navy, World War II. Terry Dowd, Army, Vietnam. Marion Ekret, Army, World War II. Harlan Bob Erickson, Air Force. Jack Ferguson, Navy, Korea. Dean Flummerfelt, Marines, World War II. Charles Fouts, Air Force, Korea. Gary Fraser, Navy. Grant R. Gold, Air Force, Vietnam. Jeff Hartman, Army, War on Terror. F.W. Bill Heinz, Army, World War II.
Helen Arlene Jacobson, Navy, World War II. Willie J. Johnson, Army, Korea. Ralph Carlson, Army, Korea. Alvin Al Arnold Kibsgard, Army, Vietnam. Robert Crochelle, Army, Vietnam. Norman D. Cruz, Army, Korea. Keith L. Landon, Army, World War II. Melvin Larson, Navy, World War II. Claire Russ Latta, Army, World War II. Robert Lekwa, Navy, World War II. Stan Leland, Air Force, Vietnam. Dudley Luckett, Army, World War II. Paul J. Marsh, Navy, World War II and Korea. John McKinney, Air Force, Cold War. Charles Mulford, Air Force, Korea.
James D. Myers, Army, Korea. Ernest Olson, Jr., Air Force, Cold War. Charles D. Owen, Jr., Navy, World War II. Curtis Owenson, Army, Korea. John Pace, Navy, World War II. Donald Payer, Navy, World War II. Delbert Peterson, Army, Vietnam. Robert Peterson, Army. Forrest D. Petras, Army, Vietnam. James Phillips, Air Force, Vietnam. Norman Peitch, Army, Cold War. Melvin Popelka, Army, Korea. Donald Reed, Air Force, Korea. Lowell Rickey, Army, Korea. Donald K. Schultz, Army, World War II.
Glenn Sedgwick, Coast Guard, Vietnam. James Simon, Army, World War II. Kenneth Smith, Army, Cold War. Arthur Snyder, Air Force, Vietnam. Jerome Simons, Army, Vietnam. David Temple, Army, Vietnam. Anthony Torones, Sr., Army, Korea. Craig Texter, Air Force, Korea. Bradley Thompson, Army, Vietnam. Robert Voss, Marines, World War II. Walter Ward, Army, Cold War. Eric J. Wilson, Army, Cold War. Clifford Wobig, Army, Korea. Ronald Young, Army, Vietnam.
We heard the voices of Herman Quernbach and Tim Garten, who were reading the names of local resident veterans who have passed away between May 15, 2019 and May 15, 2020. Herman Quernbach and Tim Garten represent the Ames Patriotic Council.
Thank you.
America the Beautiful, sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Hermit Kornbrock and Tim Garten represent the Ames Patriotic Council. What is it like for you to read the names, as you just did?
It certainly makes it very personal. Senator Kornbrock and I know some of the people that were on that list, most of whom we don't know. But these are all real people. These were people that were loved and cherished by their families. And by us going through the process of reading the names, it creates a connection from our community to those deceased individuals.
So they become real to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It, in some ways, it's very similar to the reading of the names on 9/11 in New York. We'll never know those people personally, but hearing those names, it reminds us that the thousands of people who died at 9/11, those were all real people. And there's a similar sense in which when we read these names, it makes it personal. These are people from Ames who sacrifice.
Individuals.
As far as personal connection, you know, when I think of Memorial Day, I think of my father who served in World War II, and he survived the war, or I wouldn't be here, but he did serve in the Navy. On the other side of the family, Lee comes from a Navy family. Her grandfather was a rear admiral. Her father and both brothers served in the Navy as well. The two brothers, her two uncles, were Academy graduates. One died in World War II, went down with a ship, the Vincennes, in the Pacific, and the other was captured, I believe, in the Philippines and was part of and somehow survived the Bataan Death March. So that's a very real connection for her. Her dad also did survive, obviously. But he continued to serve. I think he was called up in the Korean conflict as well. So, you know, there are a lot of people on the list that him or I have known, a number of people in our families who have served. So it is very personal, but it's very important for the whole community.
Can you describe a little bit what the Ames Patriotic Council is and what it means to you to be part of this?
The Ames Patriotic Council is a small group of people who help the community join in the celebration of Memorial Day and Veterans Day. These are two holidays that are very important, particularly at a time when our country has never been more polarized. And these are times when we're reminded that we're all Americans. There's no Republican, there's no Democrat. We're all Americans on these days. And I feel like these are very important celebrations for our community. And these are truly wonderful people, most of whom have either served in the military or had a loved one serve in the military. And for them, it's very personal. And it's a great privilege for Senator Kornbrock and I to work with this group.
It's important to have that recognition of service recognized by society. It's a way of coming back, right?
I think that's well said. And I think there's great value in the process of remembering. We don't arrive where we are without history. And our country's history is marked with key events where people put on the uniform and risked their lives or gave their lives in protection for our freedoms. And the opportunity to stop and pause and remember Memorial Day and Veterans Day are an invitation for us to remember. I think there's power in that memory.
Can you take a few minutes to describe a little bit what Memorial Day is and where it comes from?
Sure. Memorial Day really came out of the American Civil War. There's some records indicating that Southern women decorated the graves of soldiers who had died fighting for the Confederacy, even while the war was still going on. In the North, similar traditions arose in various states. As far as a precedent is concerned, to me, the best precedent is Lincoln going to Gettysburg and giving the Gettysburg Address. What he did there was to help dedicate a national cemetery, the burial place for so many of those who had died at the Battle of Gettysburg. After the war, various states initiated their own celebrations. I think the biggest single impetus came from General John A. Logan. He was the head of an organization called the Grand Army of the Republic. That was an organization of Union Civil War veterans. And May 5th, 1868, he called for a national holiday to be called Decoration Day, with the main activity being appropriately decorating the graves of fallen soldiers. 1871, Michigan actually made that an official state holiday, and by 1890, all of the northern states had followed suit. Often the holiday was, and the celebrations were led by a group called the Women's Relief Corps. That's the women's auxiliary to the Grand Army of the Republic. And celebrations also continued in the South. The official federal holiday wasn't set until 1971, actually. The traditional date had been May 30th, but then it was moved to a Monday holiday to create three-day weekend, which is a nice way to start off the summer. But I think some of us are a little unhappy that it seems that the original intent of the holiday is sometimes overlooked. And that's why we do the Memorial Day parade and ceremony here in Ames when weather and public health considerations allow us.
Senator Kornbach and Councilman Garten, the vision of the Patriotic Council this year is to broaden the commemoration to all of those who have worn a uniform and served during the COVID crisis, because all of these and others on the front lines of the current fight have risked and sacrificed, and too many have died. Could you talk a little bit about what that vision is?
The spirit of Memorial Day and the history is to honor those who have died in military service. It wasn't until the 20th century that the term Memorial Day began to replace Decoration Day on a widespread basis. And really, the theme of the holiday was broadened out to honor all those veterans who had served, not just Civil War veterans. So there is a precedent for broadening this out and honoring more people who have served and sacrificed. And this year, there are a lot of people who have given of themselves, taken on considerable risk, and as you noted, too many have passed away. The nurses and the doctors, the hospital and healthcare workers, police, firefighters, emergency response workers, and other folks like postal workers, UPS, FedEx drivers, grocery clerks, really all of the people who have stayed on the job and kept our society moving forward, and specifically worked to serve those people who have come down ill and whose lives have been threatened by this disease.
What would be the message of the Ames Patriotic Council to those people?
That we honor their service, or that we're grateful, that we recognize them, just as we recognize the contributions and sacrifices of the military personnel. Like I say, a lot of different uniforms have been worn this year, but they're all for the same purpose, to serve the public's good.
Now, this year, you're not going to have the parade. You're not going to have the ceremonies that you planned to this end. Talk a little bit about what you think may happen this year.
With so much up in the air, we had initially hoped that we could combine Memorial Day programming with another event, but it's hard to make predictions now. We have to take sort of a wait-and-see approach. There are a lot of logistics that go into the Memorial Day event, but it's very difficult to predict right now what's even going to be possible. We're aware, too, that Veterans Day comes on November 11th, and so we don't want to get the two events too close together.
So to the extent that we can, consistent with public health concerns, we will be doing as much of the usual thing as we can. We just felt that bringing a large group of people together was unwise at this time, especially because our audience tends to be a little older, the more vulnerable group. There are a couple of things that are going to happen. This morning at 11 a.m., the American Legion will give a gun salute at the Ames Municipal Cemetery. That'll be followed at 11:30 by a similar salute at the Ontario Cemetery on the west side of town. And then at noon at the Story Memorial Gardens on South Duff. And finally at 12:30 p.m. At the Veterans Memorial downtown. So the Legion is getting out and doing that. That's part of their traditional celebration. The Sons of the American Legion, that's an affiliated group. have put out flags at the gravesite up at the municipal cemetery. And the Legion is also putting out street flags along Main Street. Part of the Memorial Day tradition, it's distribution of poppies. And that part of the tradition is done by the Legion Auxiliary. That comes not from the Civil War, but that comes from World War One. You may remember the poem that was written by a Canadian soldier at the time in Flanders Field, and the opening lines from that refer to poppies. So that's how the idea got started. The Legion Auxiliary will insist that they don't sell the poppies, they distribute them, but they do take donations, and those donations are important in supporting their activities. So if people are out and about and they see somebody handing out poppies, please take one, wear it, and if you can spare a few bucks to help the Legion Auxiliary, that would be great.
Yes. I should also mention the Ames Tribune has been very gracious to provide us with an extensive portion of the paper for publishing these names. We really appreciate the willingness to do that. And then the Ames Patriotic Council has a Facebook page, and the plan is to live stream that portion of the program at the Ames Municipal Cemetery at 11 o'clock, where the Legion will be conducting their ceremony. We'll make sure that that's known as well.
What is the Facebook page that people should go to?
Ames Patriotic Council, tentatively 11 o'clock.
Live at 11 o'clock today on Facebook at Ames Patriotic Council.
Correct. Thank you.
We really appreciate your taking the time to help us celebrate with the community as best we can today.
Thank you very much for your time and investment in helping us to celebrate this event. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can hold my hand. Don't be afraid. You're not alone. No, it seems that way. I know that time is ticking by. And you've been missing home. But you don't believe in miracles. Who knows what life brings? Things could be getting a little heavy. It makes you feel weary. And time is slow. I can't control. But I promise you. Some people, what makes one a hero is to save the world from evil masterminds. Though I'd love an invincible shield, it's enough to be patient and kind. I'm not super, but I promise I'll try. Feel pain and the darkness settles. I'll brave the rain, fight through this battle, and I'll be here through thick and thin. You'll grow a little stronger, feel a little better, and time is slow. I can't control. But I promise you, I'll give you mine. For some people, what makes one a hero is to be worthy and leave no man behind. Though picking up the hammer seems lovely, it's enough to be patient and kind. We can save the world one person at a time. So listen to the beating sounds. We could get lost, but miracles can be found. So let's prepare our infectious smiles. Put on our gloves and don our gowns. There's no cave, and it's not profound. But we promise to keep our feet on the ground.
And that is Vanessa Chuao. This is Local Talk here on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host, and I think Anna Banana is here. Anna, are you there?
Yep. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. So in honor of Memorial Day, John Michelson, who is the Family Readiness Support Assistant at the Iowa Army National Guard, helped me with today's Memorial Day heart-to-heart messages. John's personal heart-to-heart message, his prayer for the hundreds of Iowa soldiers headed into harm's way this summer. And then John provided these heart-to-heart messages. The first is from Rear Admiral Don Schommer, commander of the Navy Reserve Forces. He writes the following. Approximately 1 million men and women of the U.S. military have lost their lives in defense of our nation since the founding of this great republic. For many, Memorial Day weekend signifies the start of summer. Unfortunately, it can be easy to overlook the significance of Memorial Day. This Monday, our country will honor all of the brave men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice. For many, this Memorial Day weekend will look vastly different than previous ones. But this doesn't mean that Memorial Day is canceled. Far from it. I encourage every Navy reservist this weekend, no matter where you are, no matter your circumstances, to spend time remembering those who lost their lives and could not come home, reflecting on their service and why we have the freedoms that we enjoy today. Take time with your family, talk about the meaning of Memorial Day and why it is important. Read some of the stories posted this week on our Facebook page about Navy reservists who make the ultimate sacrifice. Lastly, focus on your own values of military service, remind yourself of your oath, and what it means to be a citizen sailor. So the next heart-to-heart message is from Ryan D. McCarthy, Secretary of the Army. To the Army team, today we commemorate our country's most solemn National Day of Remembrance, Memorial Day. We honor the men and women of our military and service to our country. The Army leadership especially wants to thank our Gold Star families. We, along with a grateful nation, remain inspired by your remarkable strength and fortitude. As you reflect on this day, remember it has been granted to us by some of the most noble, selfless, and courageous men and women our country has ever produced. Of those who laid down their lives in defense of our nation owes a debt to its fallen heroes that we can never fully repay. For all of us who walk in the footsteps of those that have gone before us, it is our responsibility, our duty, and even our privilege to honor their sacrifice. Stay safe, stay ready, stay strong. So next is to the men and women of the National Guard. This Memorial Day, we remember the men and women who have given their lives in the service of our country. We celebrate their legacy, their honor, their bravery, and comfort their loved ones left behind. As we reflect on their lives and their service, we make a solemn promise that they will never be forgotten. That is what Memorial Day is all about. Everyone who chooses a career in uniform knows the dangers and the sacrifices we may be called to make, and yet we serve because we believe in the promise of the United States of America. We believe in freedom, justice, and the pursuit of the American dream. And we owe our strength and our standing to the men and women who have died for this nation, its ideals, and for its people. This weekend, join me in remembering the fallen and remembering why we serve. Thank you for being part of the National Guard and part of our nation's future. Sincerely, Joseph L. Lengel, General U.S. Air Force, Chief National Guard Bureau. So thank you, John Michelson, for sharing these heart-to-heart messages with us today and to all the seven branches of the U.S. military, the United States Army, United States Marine Corps, United States Navy, United States Air Force, United States Coast Guard, United States Public Health Service Commission Corps, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Commission Officer Corps. Today and every day, for those in uniform serving today and to those who have served in the past, we honor you today and every day. So Joseph Campbell said that a hero is someone who has given his or her life to something bigger than oneself, and you are all truly heroes. Now, speaking of heroes, my childhood heroine, Clara Barton, definitely meets this definition. As you may recall from your school days, Clara Barton was a pioneering humanitarian who worked as a nurse during the American Civil War and helped us as the American chapter of the Red Cross. She earned the nickname Angel of the Battlefield, tending to the wounded and dying soldier. She worked for days on end without rest, then collapsed with exhaustion when she turned home. Claire Barton is quoted as saying, "You must never think of anything except the need and how to meet it." So again, in 2020, as Ursula said, this year is certainly unusual, and it's difficult, and it's scary. But there are a number of heroes and heroines in our world, country and local community, here in Story County, like the doctor from Ames, who we mentioned in a couple of shows ago, who went to Philadelphia, who in the face of danger combated adversity through feats of ingenuity, courage, and strength, which is a perfect introduction to Val Bolin, who is a home health hospice service coordinator at Mary Greeley Medical Center. And she sent this heart-to-heart message. I want to share how the dedicated staff of Mary Greeley Home Care, Home Hospice, and the Israel Family Hospice House are visiting and caring for those who are recovering from being hospitalized, those who are needing some sort of medical assistance in their home, and those who are dying in their home or in the hospice house. I lift my hat off to all of them, the nurses, aides, therapists, chaplains, social workers, our frontline staff who are putting their lives at risk every day. So thank you, Val. And I hope that everyone there has a wonderful day on this Memorial Day. Thank you to those who are still working and supporting people, commerce, and health. This is an absolutely unbelievable time. I'm such a big fan of each of you. To those of you who are trying to brave a sense of normal living, teaching, volunteering, promoting, giving, or just plain being, I love you and I thank you as well for doing your part. You are amazing. So Anna Banana is wishing everyone a happy Memorial Day, and as today also marks the first day of summer, and although our summer plans have definitely been significantly altered by COVID-19, I hope that you can find ways to embrace the spirit of summer to bring you joy, laughter, and that feeling of freedom that comes from being released on that last day of school. And if you would like to respond to any of these messages or wanted to share what's in your heart with us, I invite you to call or text Anna Banana, that 515-809-0077, or you can always email me at khoiradio@gmail.com and put heart to heart in the subject line. Thank you for listening to these individual heart to heart messages that connect us to a community of love, care, and support that is KHOI, the heart of Iowa, which is you and me.
Thank you, Anna Banana, and you've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host today, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for listening. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. here at KHOI 89.1, and today we will also play it at noon. You can hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Also remember that KHOI is streaming live at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kay Shelley. You also heard America the Beautiful by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Bella's Lullaby by Carter Burwell, and More Than a Hero, a tribute to nurses by second-year nursing student Vanessa Chua. Before I go, I just wanted to mention that I got my stimulus money from the government on Saturday. I know that some of you have gotten a check and some of you have gotten direct deposit, but my stimulus money actually came on a debit card, and I would have thrown it away if I hadn't been warned by somebody else. It looked like a promotional credit card, but actually it is the money. And so if you have not gotten your stimulus money yet, watch for this. The name of the company it comes from is called Money Network Cardholder Services. Money Network Cardholder Services. And like I said, it looks like a promotional letter for a new credit card, but it actually is the stimulus money, and it's on a debit card. So if you're still waiting for your money, look for that. This seems to be the new way they're sending it out. Do not throw that away. And remember that you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting KHOI. And we will see you again on the radio.
In liberating strife, who more than self, their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America.
You know, we used to sing it something like this.
Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain. A purple mountain majesties.
Save it, brotherhood.